much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So, another Friday is upon us.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The facts on marijuana. Marijuana does bad things to your heart and lungs.
Coffee. And a coffee spell.
People who smoke marijuana can get sick more often because it hurts your body's power to fight disease.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Marijuana gives you bad breath and stained teeth.
That Kevin smell.
It can make you overeat.
I eat crap.
It gives some people problems with memory.
And what about, what was I going to ask you? I forget what I was going to ask you.
Others get sudden panic attacks.
Hey, you guys. You're right on time. Kevin just woke up screaming from his afternoon nap.
Marijuana affects each person's mind and body differently.
Hey, stop fooling her! I'll fight every one of you!
There's no way to predict what it might do to you.
How do you keep your head about it?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want to see boobs or you don't want to see boobs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, my God.
Roll another one.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
Just like the other one.
Some people are just playing crazy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Some sad news in the world of radio.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
What it is, soul brother.
Roll another one.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
Just like the other one.
You've got to lower your expectations.
This one seems to be about sex.
Who hurt you?
I don't have another
in the morning,
radio.
This is Santa
Monica. Just pass it
around.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Well, don't join, my friend.
The Bible says they're worthy of death.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now,
if you don't know that our government is wiping its ass with the Constitution, you're living under a rock someplace.
Our feature presentation.
Is it doing that literally?
Apparently so, according to Uncle Ted, yes.
Seems bad. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday morning. It's the 16th of August. Friday.
Yes.
Friday's sweet.
Friday's right? Sweet. From the beginning of that song, it's just you go, all right.
I can right. Do this.
Better.
Good.
Are you happier when you wake up and it's Friday or yes. Happier when you wake up? Then it's Saturday.
No, Friday.
Yeah, I think me too. Even though you have to work. Even though you have to work, Friday's still better somehow.
Yeah, but when you use work for our job.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We come in and goof around.
And then we wander out at like noon.
Then we wander around trying to look for something to do.
Well, I got a story. There's an interesting follow-up to maybe. I'm sure, Lisa, you have seen this. I've been following with interest this guy who has been in a dispute with his bank. He's in Russia. They sent him an unsolicited credit card form a couple of years ago, And he had a great idea because he didn't like the terms of the credit card, so he changed them. He wrote in his own terms, copied the form, wrote in his own terms, filled it out, sent it back, bank approved it, sent him a credit card.
Wow.
Without reading it.
So right? He changed the rate of... That he gets
As
charged?
A matter of fact, yes.
Nice.
He wrote in a 0% interest rate, unlimited credit, and no fees.
Well, that's – why do you go that far?
As well as the stipulation that the bank would pay steep fines for changing or canceling the contract.
Now, oh,
again,
sweet.
He sent it to the bank. They didn't read it. They signed it and sent him a credit card.
I love that because the bank counts on you not reading all their
crap. Of course.
Crap.
You can't
Absolutely.
Get through it.
And that was his point, is how many times the bank sues people, takes them to court, and when they say, I didn't read it, it was too complicated, it was, and they go, sorry, your problem. You need to read it, right? So that was exactly what his point is. The man, a 42-year-old man in Russia, by the way, his name is Dmitry Agarov. He used the credit card for 2 years. Ultimately, the bank did cancel it, and they sued him for $1,363, which they said were the fees. In other words, he was paying for what he spent on the card.
All right.
He was paying that amount, but he was abiding by the terms that the bank had agreed to, which was the 0% interest. So he wasn't paying any of the interest, any of the penalties, any of the late fees, anything like that. So it got to the point where the bank canceled the card and tried to come after him for the $1,363, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, no way. Here, I have the statement here that you guys signed. So it ended up, he ended up suing the bank for $727,000 for not honoring the contract's term. And now the bank is hollering fraud on that. And it just happened yesterday that the suit has been dropped, that both sides finally agreed to drop it. After it appears that the chairman of the bank tweeted, with regards to the man from Vonerov, which was the name of the town he's in, our lawyers say that he'll be awarded not the 24 million rubles, which is the $700,000, but a 4-year sentence for fraud. Now it's a matter of principle for the bank.
Wow.
He got scared off by that, by the possibility of perhaps going to jail, and feels like his point has probably been made on the fraud part of it.
Yeah.
So he has dropped his suit, but now he is suing the bank for libel for suggesting that he committed fraud.
Wow.
So
Go get him.
He's not quite done yet.
I love this guy.
But it does seem like if you're in Russia,
yeah. I mean,
the bank just goes, screw you, and right. you lose.
Probably.
I suspect that, like in this country, the bank is probably in bed with the government, and
right.
the government will help them out and back them up and probably send the guy to jail and think nothing of it,
right,
I would imagine. I mean, I applaud that the guy is taking a stand and he's trying to make a point about the credit card forms, but it's probably not worth going to jail for, because I don't think you're going to accomplish anything that way. But you have to give him points for
I like it.
For balls, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I like
well
it.
Done.
Well done. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
yes, that's true.
Comedian Doug Benson will be here. Very excited about him.
Yes.
It's awesome, Beer Mug. You didn't have to bring your own pot today.
Woohoo!
Talking about the greatest movie ever rolled.
Mm-hmm.
We have the director of Kick-Ass 2, Jeff Wadlow, in the studio.
Awesome.
Now, depending on how it went last night at the 10 p.m. and the midnight screenings, he's either going to be in a great mood today or really depressed that he has to promote his dog.
Oh,
there's no
that way.
Chance of that.
I don't think so either.
I hope not. I hope the movie's great, and I hope it does great business, but I'm just a little bit concerned about having a director on when he's already gotten some early numbers. I hope it goes well for us and him.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you. And we're going to talk to the president of the UFC, Dana White, talking about the big UFC fight night tomorrow night.
That's right.
On Fox Sports 1. So that is coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the showbiz beat.
Selena, over here. Selena, God damn it.
Indeed.
I love the combination of the half-hearted attempt to get her to come over for the interview and then the outrage when she does it.
He wasn't really yelling. He was doing the fake yell.
Right. He didn't want to talk to her.
No.
Not like he wanted Katy Perry.
Selena.
Kitty Perry, walk the moon. Kitty Perry, walk the moon. I think he was calling out a play in a huddle.
Who are they? Oh, Katy Perry. Guys. Hey, Katy Perry. Walk the moon. Hey, Katy Perry, walk the moon is standing right here. Katy, walk the moon. Katy Perry, walk the moon.
As if she couldn't resist walk the moon. He knew how to get her. Yeah, everyone wants to talk to Katy Perry, but if I tell her Walk the Moon is standing over here, she'll have no choice. Now she can't resist Walk the Moon.
When we take Beer Mug with us to New York next week.
We're leaving him there?
We're going to leave him there.
One
but
way.
B, before we do that, we're going to make him interview people 24 hours a day.
That's all he's good for.
Only interview people on the streets of New York. That's it.
I like it.
It'd be fun. All right, Friday morning, 5:55. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, Kevin, you're wrong.
Well, that's rare.
And the rest of the world is right.
In what way?
The season premiere of A&E's Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
Shattered.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cable television records.
Yes.
Pulling the largest audience ever for a nonfiction cable series. 11.8 million viewers tuned in Wednesday night.
Wow.
11.8.
That would be monster numbers on network television.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me again what the record is that it said, the largest cable... What? Say it again, Ralph.
It's the largest audience ever for a nonfiction cable TV series episode.
So basically...
So, like,
anything,
I don't know, Walking Dead or Mad Men or I don't know what have you, what might have gotten higher ratings, but no reality show, no non-fiction show on cable network has ever pulled in numbers that big.
How about that?
Hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
How do people turn that down?
How can they? I would watch that. Never!
I don't get it. I mean, based on the...
One of my favorite things to do.
Based on the highlights that that Kevin brought in this week, I don't get the appeal of that show.
Well, you have to watch it yourself next week when you bring in highlights.
Snap.
Represent!
Speaking of Duck Dynasty, would you vote for Willie Robertson?
He's the CEO dude, the guy, right? The
yeah.
main guy.
Mm-hmm. He wants to make a run for Congress.
I would, just to see him wear camouflage in office. Yes. You know, I vote comedy.
He hails from Louisiana, and he'd like to run for Congress in his district, thinking he might be able to help the country by making Washington more efficient.
USA! USA! USA!
Well, I mean, our government's already a joke. Why not?
That's true. Let's just have all the clowns just go right to Washington.
Can't be worse.
Just make it entertaining for all
Instead
of us.
Instead of Congress, Ralph, here's what we do. Every cable channel gets to send two people to represent.
That's a great idea.
I like it.
Right?
And then we run the special on E. And we watch Congress in E.
I like it.
Exactly. Yeah. Would it just be awesome if you look out there and you see, you know, Honey Boo Boo sitting there passing laws?
That's when I moved to Ireland. Speaking of clowns, did you hear there's a, I forget what state it took place. There was some rodeo someplace where a rodeo clown put on a Barack Obama mask.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Went out to taunt
the
bull.
I think it was Missouri.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was Missouri. Anyway, a lot of people thought it was, regardless of politics, was inappropriate for the sitting president to be mocked so at a rodeo by a clown and a bull chasing him. But a representative out of Texas said he's welcome anytime to come to a Texas rodeo. Wait for it. Because we appreciate dissent, and we believe in open public debate. And that's why he should be complimented for the fact that he was able to express his freedom of speech.
Oh, it's a freedom of speech issue.
And in Texas, we value that, so he can come to a Texas rodeo anytime.
Texas is all about the opposition.
They really are about
they're famous for
open conversation, and they love freedom of speech, and they love dissent. Like when they drug that lady away from the podium when she was filibustering against the anti-abortion laws, when the state troopers came in and dragged her away. They love dissent.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Yeah, it's good times. Sad news. Especially if you were a fan like I was of that 70s show, Lisa Robin Kelly, who played Eric Foreman's older sister Lori on that show, has passed away. Died in her sleep at a California rehab center last Wednesday night. No word, official word, on what caused her death. She was only 43 years old, but she had been dealing with a nasty alcohol addiction for many years. She had been in lots of legal and personal troubles over the past... I don't know, half a dozen years. Arrested four times for DUI charges.
She even missed some of the seasons of the show, right? Because
they wrote her out. They wrote her out early on in the series, yeah. The spousal abuse charges, assault charges, all kinds of issues.
Geez.
And she was in rehab again, trying to get control of the thing. Last week, when she passed away, they found her dead in her room. So, sad news. And sad news for British stuntman Mark Sutton. You may remember him. He was the guy who parachuted into the opening ceremony at the London Olympics dressed as James Bond.
Right.
The big James Bond opening.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away this week.
What happened?
He fell to his death in the Swiss Alps.
Dead!
After jumping from a helicopter at 10,800 feet with a parachute. Yeah. Fell to his death when he was when he had landed in the mountains.
Oh. Yeah, he had one of those wings outfits on.
Yeah,
where you glide on the breeze.
Flying squirrel.
Yeah, exactly, and just right into the side of the mountain.
Oh, man.
Just hit it hard. At least he died suddenly. But I mean, a guy like that, it seemed like every single day he was out there risking his life doing some stunt.
Yeah, if you risk your life long enough,
right,
you run into that risk. And lastly, a little more upbeat piece of news. Akesha has her new jewelry line out.
All right. Yeah. I've been waiting for this.
I know you have, Kevin. You may want to pick up her favorite piece, which is her necklace that all her fans sent her of their teeth.
Of the teeth, yeah.
That she strung together a necklace.
Uh-huh.
She has done a mold of that, and now you can own it yourself if you want your own Akesha fan tooth necklace.
That's great.
She also has some penis charms for a bracelet, too, if you want to pick that up. So it just sounds... Like the line is as classy as the lady.
You selling them at Barney's?
Yes, exactly. Behind Barney's, out of a van. So you can get them there. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Steve Carell is 51. What a good'un he is, huh?
Yep, he sure is.
Great dude. Actor Timothy Hutton is 53. Madonna is 55, as Angela Bassett. James Cameron, the director, is 59. Kathy Lee Gifford, oh, when will she just go away already?
Agreed.
60 years old today. Actor Reginald Vell Johnson is 61. Actress Julie Newmar, she was TV's Catwoman back in the day. 80 years old today, I would break her hip.
Oh,
I'm Ralph Garman. I watch.
Yeah.
Loud, loud.
All right. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at the Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
I stopped myself that time. 626.
We're what here happened? At the Kevin. Is everyone at the Kevin and Bean Show?
I really don't know.
What were you going to say?
I really don't know.
What's going on?
Don't worry.
We have to worry about it. You're speaking on the
you
air.
Maybe should worry about it more.
Heavy rotation. Brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup.
Not all good. The opposite of all good. Lots bad.
Well
Dana
said,
White
Kevin.
Talks UFC. That's all on the way here on the
Kevin. Kevin and Bean Show.
First, Rob is here. It's a Friday. It's a movie beep.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What a variety pack of movies opening up this weekend in the Southland Cineplex. A little something for everybody.
All right.
Starting off with the ladies. Hey, ladies. Are you like Lisa?
Yes.
You love your sappy romantic comedies.
Oh, I know which movie you're talking about.
Yeah, what if you take that and then you just sprinkle in a little BBC, a little Jane Austen, a little Pride
you
and Prejudice.
So talking my language.
Oh, Lisa just
can't wait.
You haven't said one word that
just arrived.
No, you would not like this.
It's called Austenland. It's a romantic comedy about a woman who's so obsessed with the BBC production of Pride and Prejudice that she travels to a Jane Austen theme park.
Holy crap. What a nightmare that movie is.
In search for her perfect gentleman. She wants to find that courtly love that Jane Austen wrote about in all of her famous romantic novels. Kerry Russell stars in the film.
And she's great. I love her.
I love her in The Americans.
Yeah.
She is joined by Jennifer Coolidge. Remember Stifler's mom? She's back in this comedy. Britt McKenzie of the Flight of the Conchord.
See? Looking a little better?
Nope.
Pretty good.
Not a
TV
bit.
Show. Here's a scene where Jennifer Coolidge is comforting Kerry Russell in her quest for her perfect gentleman.
Oh, Jane! Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I know how it feels to be treated badly by stupid men. I really do. Jane, come on. Give me a hug. Well, at least it's not going to happen at this place. Besides, you'll feel totally different tomorrow. Think about all the people in the world that hang themselves. And then the next day, they feel different. What? But there's nothing they can do about it. Don't hang yourself, Jane.
Mm-hmm.
You still in, Lisa?
Yes.
That is a thing.
Yes, I am.
That's a
I'm
movie,
in.
And it's happened.
You can walk
it's be
into
on a, screen.
A theater
yep.
and see that.
You can
watch
pay $12. You can sit down, eat popcorn, and watch that.
Oh, I'm bored.
Paranoia also opens up this weekend.
Yes,
this
somewhere.
Cast: Amber Heard, Liam Neeson, Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman.
I'm already in line to see that movie.
I
you
don't
can't
like
stop
it because
me.
She's not playing a goddess from an enchanted forest.
I can start a website. underneath a bear cave.
Our friend Nick has an unusual crush on...
Bring back the Playboy Club!
Amber Heard.
It brings me agony and sadness and dread.
I know. You're very upset about Amber Heard being naked or something.
Liam Neeson plays an... It's not Liam Neeson at all. Liam Hemsworth plays an entry-level employee at a powerful corporation. And he finds himself getting all kinds of perks. The corner office, the special treatment. But it turns out the reason he's being soft-soaped is because they want him to spy on his boss's old mentor in order to secure a multi-billion dollar advantage in a business dealing. Here is Gary Oldman playing that boss, telling Liam Hemsworth exactly what he wants him to do.
Jock Goddard was my mentor.
Do you know him?
Goddard's basically the reason cell phones aren't the size of bricks. He found that icon.
And built it into the largest publicly traded technology company in the world.
And ever since I left, he has spent every waking moment trying to destroy me. You are going to work for Icon. What? Get us in the door, you get 500K. Get us what we need, you'll see another million in stock options.
Money like that would allow you to take care of your father and a whole lot more.
Icon's not just going to hire me.
They will when we're done with you.
See, they're setting up then to spy on Harrison Ford, get all his secrets. Here's what he got.
Cell phone thing.
You could bug that office.
Oh, I can't understand what he's saying.
Bug that office and still not hear a thing.
Lee Daniels, the butler, opens up this weekend as well.
Wait, that's the name of a movie?
Lee Daniels,
how are you going to see both of them?
I don't know.
Lee Daniels, the butler. It's not Lee Daniels, colon, the butler, Kevin. That's not the name of the butler, Lee Daniels.
Okay.
You seem shocked that there's a movie called Lee Daniels, the butler.
Yes, I am.
Why?
Your wife talked to you about it. Oprah's involved.
Nope. Lee Daniels is the director of the film. And the butler is the name of the movie.
All right.
Because there was a big battle over the rights to the name, the butler, for the movie. So they had to add Lee Daniels' name to the mix. But it's the same movie. It is about a butler who works at the White House. An African-American's eyewitness account of the notable events of the 20th century during his tenure as the White House butler and is all seen through his eyes. Lots of big-name co-stars play the different presidents throughout the years. But Forrest Whitaker stars as the titular butler. Oprah Winfrey, your fave, Kev, is his wife.
And when you say my fave...
Well, whatever your wife says goes at your house. I know that. Here's a scene while at the dinner table, Forrest Whitaker, as the butler, kicks his son out of the house while the butler's wife, Oprah Winfrey, stands up for her husband.
Senior Poitier is a white man's fantasy of what he wants us to be.
What are you talking about? He just won the Academy Award. He's breaking down barriers for all of us.
By being white, Sidney Poitier is nothing but a rich Uncle Tom.
Look at you. Saying whatever you want. You need to go.
What?
Get the hell out of my house! No, do no, it! No. Get on out!
Now everybody just
sit. I'm sorry, Mr. Butler. I didn't mean to make fun of your hero.
Everything you are and everything you have is because of that butler.
That's right. So you have to pay some respect to the butler. Kids today. With their Black Panthers, and they're not liking Sidney Poitier. Can't stand these kids today.
What else you got, Ralph? You said there was something for everyone. I've not heard anything
yet.
Well,
this is for you, Kevin. All right. Knowing your love of technology and your borderline genius IQ.
Thank you.
Jobs! Ashton Kutcher is Steve Jobs. It's the biopic that you've all been waiting for. Jobs' ascension from college dropout to one of the most revered creative entrepreneurs of the 20th century. Ashton Kutcher is Steve Jobs in Jobs. Hello? Is this thing on?
It is.
It's rare to have a biopic made for the theater so quickly after somebody dies, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Not much turnaround on this one.
This was done. This was put into works immediately after Steve Jobs' death. Josh Gad also stars in the film. You know him from 1600 Penn.
Yeah.
He plays... the other guy, the other big
Wozniak.
Computer. Wozniak. Wozniak, yeah. J.K. Simmons. Great cast. A lot of people are scared off because Ashton Kutcher's starring as Steve Jobs.
That scares me.
It should scare you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The story's so fascinating. I think I may be able to get past that.
Yeah.
I'm torn.
The question is, can Ashton Kutcher get out of the way and let it be a good movie?
Well, let's take a listen as Ashton, as Steve Jobs, comes up with a name for his computer company.
Enterprise Computers.
No. No Star Trek names. I swear, I will drive this car right off the road. I will run the car right off the road.
Jesus, calm down.
It needs to be something that you see and you're just like, man, I just gotta have it. Apple.
The fruit?
The fruit of creation. Apple. It's a simple but sophisticated. It comes before Atari in the phone book, too.
That is so much better than phaser beam computers.
See? It's better than phaser beam computers. By the way, no real Trekker would ever say phaser beam.
No, you don't tell us.
Please.
That's an embarrassment.
Kick-Ass 2, finally.
There you go.
Aaron Taylor-Johnson returns as the titular Kick-Ass. Chloe Grace Moretz is...
Stop it.
Hit girl. Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
As the King of Mexico calls him.
Returns as Red Mist slash Mother Ugger.
We're like, King of Mexico, you understand you just said Plasse?
That's how he says his name. And Jim Carrey stars as Colonel Stars and Stripes. For those of you who enjoyed the comics, and I know I'm one of them, the sequel, Kick-Ass 2, in the comics was just as good as the first, and this movie looks to follow up with the same for the feature film version. Kick-Ass joins a group of superheroes this time to kick crime's ass. Unfortunately, his old nemesis, the Red Mist, is back with a plot of revenge that will affect everyone Kick-Ass loves and knows. Here is a scene where Kick-Ass is convincing Hit Girl to come back out of retirement and for them to work together to conquer the forces of evil.
I want to team up, like Batman and Robin.
Nobody wants to be Robin. Okay, Robin wishes he was me.
What I'm trying to say is we should be partners. You and me, like the dynamic duo.
Aren't you tired of being on your own? Don't you want to know someone's there for you? Someone who's got your back.
And you'll do anything I say.
Anything.
Hit me.
You're a 15-year-old girl.
Act like a bitch, get slapped like a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hit Girl.
Now we're getting somewhere.
I want a Hit Girl spinoff. I just want to see Hit Girl all the time. I love her. So that's my pick for the weekend. That's where I'll be. Lisa will be over in Austin Land.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure Kevin will be at the Butler. I mean, he'll be there watching.
Now that he knows.
I may be dragged there, but
he
loves historical dramas.
I do.
You know that.
If you know anything about me.
And Beer Mug, of course, will be at Steve Jobs.
Beer Mug will be at Taco Bell.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Time for a brand new internet roundup.
Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We watch everything, so you only have to watch the good stuff. And we put it together each week in a feature we call the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can see it at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Now, 2 weeks in a row, I have screwed up introducing the clips. Does anyone want to put down any money on whether I'm going to make it through today successfully or not?
I'll put money against it.
I'm afraid I got to do that too.
Well, so I've completely lost the confidence of the room.
I think so, yeah.
All right, I'll give it a try. Every time I watch one of these videos in the internet roundup, I'm always wondering two things, depending on what the video is. Sometimes it's how did they do that? Sometimes it's why did they do that? Sometimes it's why did they do that? And this, I haven't screwed up the clip yet, the talking part. This is a why did he do this video. This is a guy who takes 300 cans of Pepsi, pours it into his bathtub, and takes a bath in it. Why is he taking a bath in Pepsi? Is he hoping that Pepsi will see it and turn it into some sort of a commercial? Is he hoping to get free Pepsi for life? I don't know, but listen up.
Pepsi in my ears. It's like popping. Pepsi baths.
I don't think he's going to get the attention in a positive way because I like Pepsi and it looks gross.
It does look gross. And he's laughing because his ears are popping because he just did what you do in a bathtub, which is to go, you know, slide your body underneath so that his head was completely under the water. But he takes cans of Pepsi and drinks a little bit and then pours the rest of it on top of his head. And he just sits there. It just seems like a tremendous waste of a soft drink, doesn't it?
Sure does.
I don't get that one at all. Well, with the return of Breaking Bad this past Sunday night, there's all sorts of great Breaking Bad videos. We got three in a row for you here on the Internet Roundup. And Kevin, I know this one is your favorite.
Yep.
This is somebody who decided to edit together Walt White, Bryan Cranston's character from Breaking Bad, scenes from all over the show, to have him singing Frank Sinatra's classic song, My Way. Listen up.
I beat it up and spit it out. I face it.
Oh.
And I called so. And did it my.
Sounds natural.
Way.
Why we need that, I can't imagine. There was a bizarre scene that went on for about 2 minutes on the season premiere this last Sunday night of Breaking Bad, where you had two guys on the show talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was very strange, and it went on for like two solid minutes. And, of course, somebody thought, hey, that needs to be animated, and that's exactly what they did, and it's pretty awesome.
When Lieutenant Uhura comes in, and she's got, you know, her big pointies, and Scotty's fingers are all sweaty.
No!
Chekhov screams, he sprays blood out of his mouth, oh. Scotty beamed his guts into space!
No way!
Anytime something's geeky enough on TV, somebody will always animate it and make a video out of it. But it's pretty cool. You got to check it out. And here's one from Funny or Die, where they have taken the Breaking Bad, what they do with meth, and taken it to the next level, which is how addictive are Girl Scout cookies. They call this Breaking Badge.
Gets me another box. Stuff is
nobody moves cookies in this neighborhood but me.
Come on, some streets like you is just gonna break Badge. You are not how I remember you from Scouts. Like, not at all.
You think anyone can resist our product? I dosey don't think so.
Oh. No, she didn't. Just that all-new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup here on the world-famous K-Rock on a Friday morning. Thor-rested development is exactly what it sounds like. What if you took the movie Thor, animated it, and made it like Arrested Development? So in other words, you've got Thor and Loki and all their problems as if it were the Arrested Development TV show, and it actually works pretty well.
Now free from prison, Loki found himself in a different kind of prison. His family.
This is Jane.
Huh?
You mustn't cometh. It is far too dangerous.
What do you think I am, a chicken? Cha, chicha, chicha, chi, chicha.
Has anyone in this family even cast his eyes upon a chicken?
People on the internet have way too much time, right?
Yep, that is very true.
You guys remember the very talented band Walk Off the Earth? I think they probably got famous when they made that cover song video of the Gautier, somebody that I used to know, and they had all of them in the band playing one guitar, remember?
Right, yeah.
Well, they've done a great series of videos since then. They've covered a lot of songs, and their latest one is Royals, the song by Lorde that we play a lot here on K-Rock, and it's just amazing, the stuff they do with their hands. They're passing guitars back and forth, but they really do make it sound like their own song.
But everybody's like Christian, way back, diamonds on the compies, chip. Tigers on a gold leash, we don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair.
And we'll never be royal.
They're passing guitars back and forth and ukuleles and all kinds of nonsense.
They're super talented, yeah. Band. Yeah. Disney has a big hit in the theaters right now with a film called Planes. Of course, they've also had The Cars and The Cars 2. Here's an idea of some of the future Disney movies, since they seem to love movies about modes of transportation.
Disney's Bicycles.
You just spoke out of turn.
Sorry, I'm bike curious.
Disney's Dirigible. You're full of hot air. Kagayo. Disney's Tanks.
Thanks a lot, pal.
I need to go see dirigibles. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel does a feature every week where he beeps things and blurs things on the news that don't need to be. He makes everything sound so filthy, he calls it this week in unnecessary censorship.
Bobby Parnell goes on the DL with a herniated
Alex Rodriguez, biggest ever American sports.
You can sharks in the deep depths of the ocean. You can sharks up. Anywhere.
Speaking of Sanchez, the play he'll want to forget for the rest of his life is the been airing this over and over and over.
That's just for you Dolphin fans. Hey, you can see all these videos and so much more at KevinAndBean.com or KRock.com right now. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Lot to talk to our friend Dana White about. He is the president of the UFC with a UFC fight night scheduled for tomorrow night. We'll have him on just after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the show. He's been on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Anyone? Olives? Olives?
No, get those away.
No. Come on. Oh,
delicious. Gross.
Breakfast of champions.
Refer
right here.
You to the decider.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the decider didn't say that Ralph couldn't continue to eat them. Just
can't,
so he
wait, can't
argue
eat them because the guy said he said something.
He says that they are Satan's poo.
Right, and does that mean you can't eat Satan's poo?
Well, I would think that you wouldn't want to.
I don't think you should wave Satan's poo in front of other people.
I mean, what a,
that's
kind of
rude.
A stone, you want
after
a pit
you, after you ate it. No.
You can plant this and make your own olive tree.
That's great.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Don't swallow them though, because one will grow in your stomach.
Oh, you don't want that to happen.
No, you don't. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. Sad news. Lisa Robin Kelly, who played Lori Forman, Eric Forman's older sister on That 70s Show, has passed away. Passed away in her sleep at a California rehab facility last Wednesday night. No official word on the cause of death yet, but she had been battling an alcohol problem for a long time. She'd been arrested four times since 2010 on DUI charges and spousal abuse and assault charges. A nasty alcohol addiction. She passed away just 43 years of age. So.
They say that the withdrawals from alcohol can be worse than any
deadly
other drug.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Good news for WWE fans. Darren Young, one of the stars of the WWE, came out as gay this week. In a sort of a shocking way, too. A TMZ cameraman found Darren Young when he was picking up his luggage at LAX and started asking him about the gays coming out in NBA.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the NFL, and said, you think a gay wrestler could ever be successful? And without missing a beat, Darren replied, absolutely. Look at me. I'm a WWE superstar. And to be honest with you, I'll tell you right now, I'm gay.
It was just, I mean, the cameraman
happy,
had
very
no
happy.
Idea.
I don't think so.
The cameraman had to have. Oh, how do you not? That's a weird coincidence, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe he had some heads up.
There were rumors or something.
Maybe there had been rumors. I don't know. I had never heard any.
I didn't either.
But the WWE released a statement saying they stand behind his revelation and they're happy to continue working with him. So.
Do you want extra sausage?
They later asked him.
I hope we're at the point. I know we say this all the time on this show. Where no one gives a rat's ass what someone's sexuality is. It's like it's so not relevant to whether he's a good wrestler or not.
Does the rat have a nice ass?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, give me some rat ass. Yeah. Hey, and LA's coming. Football's coming to LA.
Woo!
Yeah, congratulations.
Right. Best news ever.
The long wait is over. We're finally getting football in Los Angeles.
Are they moving the Carolina Panthers out? I know that was one of the options.
Oh.
San Diego Chargers?
Oh, I'm sorry. You misunderstood
who's
me.
Who's coming out?
St. Louis Rams?
I didn't say NFL. I said football.
Oh.
As in the Arena League, suckers! Woo! Arena! Arena League football!
Have you ever seen...
I love you. Yes, I do.
Have you ever seen Arena League football?
Yes, because I'm a huge Philadelphia Soul fan. And the Soul, by the way, battling for the championship tomorrow. Once again, in the mix.
You just looked that up.
In the mix.
You didn't know that.
Oh, like, I don't know what the Soul's up to.
You don't.
The Soul used to be owned by Ron Jaworski, legendary quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, and John Bon Jovi.
Right, but you don't care about that at all.
Go Soul!
It's a hundredth of the NFL, right? A thousandth, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a thousandth.
Maybe 100 times the NFL.
Yeah.
You know why? It's all touchdowns all the time. When do you see an NFL score like 72-68? When do you see that?
Well, never. Because
right.
Those people don't play.
Woo! Soul! Go Soul!
I remember making fun of the Arena League, and our sports guy at the time, Matt Money Smith, said, have you ever seen it in person? I said, no. And he said, we're going to go because I think, you know,
all bombs, baby.
And we went to it, and it was worse than I could have ever imagined.
You have no idea.
And Money agreed with me. He's like, this is pretty bad.
You have no idea. It's coming to LA.
I have an idea. I've seen it.
It's coming to LA, and we will embrace it, and we will make love to it, and we will caress it, and we will make it breakfast in the morning.
Oh, now, dude, lame.
Now, forgive me for asking this. Does the Arena League still exist, or are they starting it up again and we have one of the new teams?
Of course it still exists.
Okay.
Seriously,
though. And the best news?
Lame.
You know who's going to bring it to us?
Lame.
Lame?
Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley. Woo! Please welcome your LA Kiss. That's the name of the team.
No, it isn't.
It's the name of the team.
But seriously.
The L.A. Kiss.
Put your arms down.
Woo!
There's no victory signal here.
Go Kiss! Go Kiss! 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 Kiss!
Unless
Kiss.
Unless Gene Simmons and Paul...
You wanted the Arena League football? You got Arena League football! Bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow. Unless they're both playing.
I want to throw touchdowns all night and run every day.
Wow.
I know that
it's happening. The LA Kiss.
He wants to own one of everything, but he doesn't need a sports franchise.
If he plays, I'm in. I'll go watch.
I don't think 60-something Gene Simmons
then I'm
be
out.
Playing any arena football, Kevin. But
I will not be
the
watching
LA
any.
Kiss will be the name of the team, and those guys are going to bring it to us. I'm surprised because Gene Simmons is usually a guy who makes pretty good investments.
That's true.
And I know Bon Jovi got out of the Arena League football business because it wasn't really doing that well.
Yeah.
But look, they're going to have their name on a sports franchise. Sure. How many bands can say that? I don't remember ever going watching the Liverpool Beatles play soccer. I don't remember that ever happening. No. But we're going to have the L.A. Kiss. Yeah!
You're much too excited about this.
You really are.
Can't wait till the Soul comes to play the Kiss.
No.
Soul Kiss.
No.
Oh, God.
Kiss. All right, let you and your olives take it out of here for now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Carell's 51 years old today. Timothy Hutton's 53. Madonna, 55 years old. Angela Bassett's also 55. James Cameron is 59. Kathy Lee Gifford turned 60 years old today. That's got to make her husband 11-y.
Yeah, he's 83.
Frank Gifford has the same birthday as she does. Reginald Veljohnson, you know him from Family Matters and also Die Hard, 61 years old today. And actress Julie Newmar, the TV Catwoman on the old Batman TV series, she's 80 years old today. I would still rock her world. I would destroy it.
Nope.
I would wreck her.
You might wreck her, but...
I would wreck her.
Wouldn't be fun for either of you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz...
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I see that as Alistair Overeem's walkout music. I think
I don't know if that'll happen.
Come into the octagon with a little Lumineers. Why not? Hey, speaking of the fights, how about Saturday night, UFC Fight Night, Shogun versus Sonnen, and so much more. Our friend Dana White, the president of the UFC, joins us on the phone. Hey, Dana, welcome back, man.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you on. Let's start with the big question, which is, what the hell network are you on, and why can't you keep a TV station? How many different channels have you been on with the non-pay-per-view fights in the last couple of years, Dana?
We've been on Fuel, and we were on FX and Big Fox. Now, always the original plan was, when we did the deal with Fox, was they were going to start their own sports network. And really, we've been in this deal with Fox a year and a half, and they're already doing what they said they would do. So this Saturday, tomorrow night, we launch Fox Sports 1.
And this is, they've been teasing this forever. Fox Sports 1 is coming, Fox Sports 1. The channels like DirecTV is 219, Time Warner is 266, Fios is 583. They're all different, so you got to look at it. But apparently this network is to basically battle ESPN, right?
Yeah, it's a new sports network, and you know, they're going to have everything from football, baseball, and UFC. So it's finally, I mean, this for us, first of all, when we bought this company, we weren't allowed on pay-per-view. We wanted to get on free TV. We finally got on pay-per-view and free TV, and our big goal was to end up on a sports network, and now we're here.
And you're also going to do The Ultimate Fighter on this sports network, right, with Ronda?
Yeah, everything. I mean, all of our programming except for the four big fights a year that we do on Big Fox will be on Fox Sports 1.
I have to ask you this question, Dana, because you created basically a new sport and made it significant and important and made it successful against all the other sports that already existed. So you're used to battling the odds. Can you imagine starting a new sports network and going up against something that is as ingrained in American psyche as ESPN is? That's a big job.
No, it's true. Yeah. But if you're going to do it, you know, you'd want to be a company like Fox. First of all, Fox has the money to go out and acquire all kinds of content. You know, they got enough money, they have the staying power to continue to grow the business, and that's what you have to have. That's what we did. Our first fight that we ever put on was at the Trump Taj Mahal. We sold 3,500 tickets.
Wow.
And we weren't on pay-per-view, we weren't on TV, and we continued to grow our business.
You've come a long way from there, haven't you?
Yeah, we have.
So, is this a hometown show for you tomorrow night? You're from that part of the world, right, Dana?
It is, yeah. I lived here. And what's awesome about this weekend is Big Fox has the Patriots game tonight. Then tomorrow they have the Yankees versus the Red Sox. And then we launch Fox Sports 1 tomorrow night. So, I'm going to – we got the weigh-ins today. The weigh-ins are at 4 o'clock on the East Coast. Then I go straight from there to the Patriots game, and then tomorrow I will be at the Red Sox Yankee game, and then go to our fights tomorrow night for Fox Sports 1.
Wow, that is a sports fan's dream weekend. That is unbelievable. You're just bragging now. You're just rubbing it in now, Data. That's all. Well, let's talk about the lineup. How did you decide on what you wanted to have on this night where there's going to be an awful lot of attention on the UFC?
Well, what we wanted to do was build a card where people go, "Oh my God, I have to find Fox Sports 1." So we got Chael Sonnen versus Shogun Hua. We put together heavyweights Travis Brown and Alistair Overeem. Uriah Faber is fighting Alcantara. We got Matt Brown and Mike Pyle. We got Uriah Hall and John Howard. Michael Johnson and Joe Lozon. And that's just the main card. The undercard is just as good. And all the fights are going to be on Fox Sports 1. So it's literally 5 hours of fights.
Oh, so all the prelims are going to be on there as well, starting at 5?
Exactly.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, now, cool. Let's talk about Uriah Faber just for a second. He always fights well unless he's defending his belt, mm-hmm. right? And he's fighting this Alcantara. I don't think I've seen much of him.
And that's a great question. Though this is the position that he's in right now. Faber is, I think he's the number two ranked guy in the bantamweight division. And this kid that he's fighting is very, very tough. Very good, but nobody's ever heard of him, you know, and that I really respect that about Uriah Faber. Uriah Faber takes these kind of fights. He's a fighter, and actually yesterday at the press conference he said, "These are the kind of fights I like. I know how dangerous this guy is and that he can take everything away from me." So, you know, I really love Uriah.
Let me jump up a couple notches on the card and ask you a question about Chael Sonnen. At what point is he going to be done? Because he has just been getting slaughtered the last couple times we've seen him fight.
Well, people say that, but we have to understand is the last two fights that Chael Sonnen lost were, first of all, not only to two champions, two guys who have the belt at 185 and 205, but two of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world, Anderson Silva and Johnny Bones Jones, and Anderson Silva is the greatest fighter of all time, and John Jones is on his way to being the greatest fighter
but
of all
Shogun
time.
But Shogun is no slouch. I mean, this is the third one in a row that he's tried to
Are you trying to kill Chael Sonnen? That's what we're asking you, Dana. What's the deal?
Chael Sonnen asked for these fights, man. This guy doesn't ask for any slouches. He's not trying to take fights he thinks he can win. He goes after the best guys in the world.
Well, hopefully he'll meet one that he can take down, but I'm not sure it's going to be Shogun. And then you've got Alistair Overeem and Travis Brown, who, let's face it, whoever lands the first punch wins, right?
Yeah, when you deal with heavyweights like these guys that are big stand-up knockout guys, yeah, it's whoever delivers the first big punch. I definitely agree with you.
It's over 500 pounds of fighter in one fight. That's crazy.
Yes, it is.
This is the voice of our friend Dana White, president of the UFC. Again, we're talking, if you're just joining us, about the UFC Fight Night, which is going to be tomorrow night. It's an amazing stacked card. It's going to be at the TD Garden in Boston, and it's going to be on Fox Sports 1. We cannot stress that enough. If you think you're looking for it on the regular, as Dana calls it, the Big Fox, you won't find it there. This is a brand-new sports network that is going to be debuting tomorrow night. Let me ask you one more thing.
Speed Channel.
Former Speed Channel. Right.
And you know what we were saying earlier? It starts at 3 o'clock on the West Coast. The fights start at 3. The main card will go off at 5.
At 5. Okay, so 3 to 5. All right.
Dana, let me ask you just one more thing since it happens to be in the news this week. I'm sure you've been asked about Darren Young from the WWE coming out yesterday. It's becoming, fortunately, it's not as big a ripple as it used to be when an athlete came out as gay. We're starting to see it in a bunch of major sports. Is that going to happen at the UFC sometime, or do you just not have any gay fighters that are there waiting to come out?
I would say that we probably do. You know, the thing about coming out, it's a personal choice. It's whether you want to deal with that or not, you know. But I welcome it. I've said it many times. You know, we have Liz Carmouche. I think you guys have interviewed her before.
Right, of course, yeah.
Yeah, she's openly gay. Yeah, so I could care less, man. If one of the guys wanted to come out, I welcome it.
And it probably wouldn't make a lick of difference, no pun intended, in their response from the fans, right? I mean, it would just be the type of thing that would be a headline for a couple days, and then the guy would go on about his business, and if he was a good fighter, people would still support him, right?
No doubt about it. There's
I hope
no
that's
doubt
the
about
case.
It. Hey, and let me tell you what, the gay community is big. You'd probably get more support, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I have no problem with it.
This is all tomorrow night. Saturday night starts at 3 p.m., actually. In the afternoon here on the West Coast. Fox Sports 1 with the prelims. Then 5 p.m. is when you get all the main card, and it's going to be a great night of fights. Dana White, thank you very much for joining us again today. We always appreciate your time.
Same here, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
And Ralph did the movie beat last hour. He laid out a bunch of choices for us for the weekend. And the only one that our ears really pricked up for, Ralph, with apologies to all the other great films, is Kick-Ass 2, which is in theaters right now. The director and screenwriter of that film, Jeff Wadlow, joins us in studio right now.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for having me.
Of course. Let me start by asking you this. I mean, these days, what you're positioned up against when you hit theaters on the weekend makes a big, big difference. It's a pretty good weekend for you just in terms of the direct competition, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's crowded, and a lot of people are excited to see The Butler. I don't really think it's the same audience as Kick-Ass 2.
Are you worried about Austin Land? That's what we're thinking about.
Yeah, I'm incredibly worried about Austin
Land.
That's
really, that's the same audience.
I know nothing about Austin Land.
It's a Jane Austen
theme
park. None of us do.
Yeah, no, I was actually listening to you guys as I was getting ready. My girlfriend had it up on the computer, and she was like, oh, they're talking about Austin Land. And I was like, I don't even know what that's about.
Yeah, no. It's a Jane Austen theme park movie.
But no, once you explain it.
Russell
once
finds you, love there.
Once you explain it, it's
here.
Even worse than you thought it would be.
Well, I think Hit Girl finds love in this film, too, doesn't she?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a coming-of-age story for all three of our characters.
Yeah, sure.
Let's put it that
they
way.
They learn a lot of important lessons about life and love.
And there's
the
a lot of dressing up as well.
There is, yeah, a lot of costumes.
I think I could
drama.
Do both comfortably.
I think there you go.
I don't think you can.
No,
you're the only one. That's quite
a
stretch.
But I think I can do that.
All right, let me back up a notch here. When Kick-Ass, the original Kick-Ass movie was in theaters, at that point, were you just a fan, or were you already like thinking about Kick-Ass 2 or already been hired or anything like that?
I literally won the fanboy lottery. I saw the first movie in theaters. I didn't know anybody affiliated with
you were
the
12.
Film.
That's why the first movie came out.
And I just loved it. And I was working on another project, and I met Matthew Vaughn through it. And I pitched him the other project. He liked it. I wrote the script, sent it to him, and he was like, the script's just like the pitch. And I was like, yeah.
That's the idea.
And he was like, so you do what you say you're going to do. And I was like, yeah. And he said, do you want to do Kick-Ass 2? And I was like, yeah.
It was just that simple.
It was the shortest job interview ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was very exciting. And I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to make the movie.
Well, I was familiar with you from Cry Wolf, which I thought was one of the great slasher thrillers.
Oh, you are very kind.
The past 10 years, really. I really enjoyed that. And then Never Back Down, I guess, proved that you could do action. So I guess Vaughn was comfortable in choosing you, thinking you could handle it. I mean, it's a pretty big project. It's bigger than anything you've done to this date. Right?
No, it was a huge break for me. And to Matthew's credit, he really wanted a writer-director. I mean, he could have hired a bunch of guys to cut a draft and a music video director to shoot it. But, you know, he wanted someone who had a point of view on the material. And I think the reason why it's been a few years since the first movie came out is that Matthew and Mark were sort of wrestling with, how do we make this movie? Because in the comic book, Hit Girl is still 11. And Chloe is growing up really fast. And so I think they were like, is it even possible to make this movie? And I came in and I said, no, this movie should be about her growing up. It should be about all three of them growing up and the choices they have to make as they become adults.
You sort of have to, because they were what, 11? She was 11?
She was 11. I say in the first film, she was 11, but she looks 9. In our film, she was 15 and looks 19. So it's happening very quickly. Yeah.
Was there ever any talk about recasting the role and just having another young girl do the thing?
I mean, it's just, I think it's a non-starter. You know, it's just like she is so iconic in the role, and I just can't imagine anyone else. I mean, occasionally you see these performances where the actor and the character just become one.
Right.
And I just don't think you could do it.
In the first one, she just exploded on the screen. No one had really known her work before, and we were all just blown away that a kid that age could pull off a role with such maturity and comedy and such flair. I mean, it really was kind of remarkable.
And the odd thing, though, in the first movie, you don't really get to spend that much time with her. Like, I've seen the deleted scenes from the first film, and there's actually this great scene where she's actually on the playground training, like doing pull-ups with Nick Cage's character. Then later on, they come back to it, and you see her on the playground by herself looking at another little girl on a swing, just having fun on a swing. And you can tell that
Mindy kicks her ass.
Yeah, exactly. She takes her lunch money. No, you can tell that Mindy wants to try to be a normal girl, and that's what we sort of pursued in this movie. We took the idea of what if she gave up being a superhero? What if she tried to be a normal teenager? Is it even possible for someone like Mindy to be a normal teenager
after what she's been through?
Exactly.
The answer no.
How many superheroes do you have in Kick-Ass 2, Jeff?
Oh my God, I can't even count.
The Justice Force is loaded up.
Yeah, right? And then we got the bad guys too. We have the TMCs, which stands for Toxic Mega C Word.
Sure.
And so it was
that's
just
in Austin Land too.
Yeah, exactly. It was so much fun coming up with all the different villains, because Mark did a great job of creating the heroes for the book, but the villains weren't really fleshed out. So I came up with a guy named the Tumor. There's someone named Genghis Carnage.
We just had
fun with everyone nuts.
It's a fine line to walk, and I think Matthew did it successfully in the first one. And from what I can tell, I haven't seen this one yet, but it looks like you've achieved the same tone, which is you're trying to create a real world. These are people who dress up costumes as superheroes in the real world. Yet at the same time, you have to inject it with the fun and adventure and scope that a traditional superhero movie would have. You have to service both, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way I talk about Kick-Ass is I believe Kick-Ass is the superhero movies what Scream in the 90s was the horror movies, where it's not a parody, right? But at the same time, there is an awareness, and you're saying to the audience, look, we know the rules.
Right.
We know that you know the rules.
Right.
So now let's break a few of them and have fun.
You remember the Kick-Ass started with the kid standing on the corner of a building and then diving down to fly and just went right into a cab. And then the voiceover's like, that's not me.
Yeah.
That was a moment where you just get kind of shocked into this is a different kind of reality.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, and we tried to shock even more. What I loved about the first film was the balance of the humor, the action, and the genuine emotion. And I sort of felt that my mandate with the sequel was to just push all three of those things equally so that we maintain the balance, but we just turn up the volume on all three of them.
Jeff Wadler was in studio with us. He is the director and screenwriter for the much-anticipated Kick-Ass 2, which is in theaters right now. I bet we have listeners who already saw it. I bet we have listeners who were there last night at 10 o'clock or at midnight. So we'll talk more with our guests in a moment right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kip. Director and screenwriter Jeff Wadlow in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He of Kick-Ass 2 in theaters now. By the way, before we talk about the movie some more, you graduated from Dartmouth College, which is a big-time Ivy League school. How disappointed were your parents that you went into show business? They were reels.
They were crushed. No, actually, I was very lucky in that they have always supported the idea. And actually, Dartmouth had a film major back then even, so it was a great place for me to go to school. And I seemed legit.
Well, it certainly has.
Dartmouth carries a little weight with it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't need to see my grades. Let's just say I finished.
That's right.
Well, it certainly has worked out for you. A couple things we need to cover with you, Jeff. We would be remiss if we let you get out without at least addressing the Jim Carrey situation. He did the best publicity ever for your film, right?
I know. It's amazing. I've seen people online. I've read things online where people have suggested that it was some sort of ploy on our part. It really wasn't.
You would have been genius.
Yeah.
But you're
we're not that smart. Take it from me. We're not that smart.
Because when I heard that he said that, I knew I was going.
No, my favorite line about it, Mark Miller, the creator of the comic book, said, that's like someone saying a porno has too much nudity.
And Mark also added in his statement, which I thought was great, is like, it's the same script you read when you signed on to do the film.
Yeah.
There was nothing new in it. There were no major changes.
And
right?
Matthew Vaughn was involved every step of the way. So, it's in line with the first film. I mean, look, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question that's kind of tangentially related. When you're making a movie like this that's comic book related, has comic book violence in it, do you have discussions about how much death and carnage you can show? I mean, is there a way to do it where that it's effective for the movie and still not a bummer?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you never want it to be a bummer, but the movie is heightened and over the top. I mean, even when we show acts of violence, I mean, it doesn't happen that way in the real world. Like, there's this crazy scene with a lawnmower that results in two people meeting an unfortunate end, and I promise you can't do that with a real lawnmower. It just doesn't work that way.
So don't try it?
Yeah.
And Chris, Ms. Plotz, we had on earlier this week, was talking about, I mean, I'm a big comic book geek, and I had read Kick-Ass 2, the comic book, and there's a significant plot line involving the rape of one of the characters in the book, and he said you guys decided to excise that from the film. It was appropriate.
I was really lucky in that when I first started working on the movie, Mark, the creator of the comic, said to me, look, don't adapt my comic slavishly. We all know those movies that have been adapted slavishly from source material, and they often suffer as a result because they're different mediums. And so, you know, when they're creating a comic book, they're dealing with approximations of people. As soon as I turn on the cameras, we're looking at real people. So,
right.
You don't necessarily have to push things as far to get the same emotional response.
Did you have to go to them with things like this?
I mean, I would
talk it over with them.
I would pitch them ideas, yeah, because I wanted them on board, and I love film because it is collaborative art. So I would say, look, you know, instead of doing, I mean, in the comic, there's like a rape scene. I was like, I don't really want to do that in the movie.
Right.
But at the same time, if you just excise it, you get accused of watering the material down. So I came up with what I thought was like an original compromise, because the point of the scene is to show how evil Chris's character is. Like, he wants to be a real life supervillain, and you want to show the lengths that he'll go to.
He wants to hurt everyone around.
Exactly.
Kick ass, yeah.
And so I thought I came up with an idea that sort of served that purpose, but still didn't go as far as the comic did. Because again, we're dealing with real people. You just don't need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Let's change gears for 1 second, Jeff. Just as Kick-Ass 2 was easily the biggest, most ambitious thing you'd attempted up till that point, is that what X-Force is going to be like for you in a couple of years? I mean, this is a whole nother level, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I hope it's sooner than a couple of years. I mean, I guess they're talking about it,
for 2016.
Well, that's release date.
Yeah. That means it'll be the next couple of years of my life. Yeah, it's going to be big. I'm really excited about it. You know, Mark was hired to be a creative consultant for Fox and oversee all their Marvel properties. And I guess technically they only really have two, the Fantastic Four and X-Men. But X-Men is so massive. Like, I've actually looked at the list of characters that Fox bought when they got the rights to X-Men.
Right.
And it's almost as big as the rest of the Marvel Universe, right?
Really?
So they have this amazing cornucopia of characters that aren't being used. And so I immediately said to Mark, I was like, oh my God, you got to do an X-Force movie. And initially he was like, well, we were talking about doing these other characters and building a team. I was like, no. Marvel already did that. X-Men for me, when I was buying the comics for Graciously in the 90s, was about all these different teams with different ideologies sort of bouncing off each other. And I desperately want to do an X-Force movie. Here's my big idea. I'm not going to tell you.
Get out.
And they got excited and they said, let's do it.
So your geek cred has just skyrocketed. I mean, everybody at Comic-Con this year was talking about X-Force, how excited they were about the possibility of a movie. So everybody's shouting out what characters they want to see in it, what the lineup should be and stuff. So how fun for you as a fanboy to get to put that all together?
Yeah, it's so much fun because there have been different lineups. You know, the recent lineup, the Uncanny X-Force, I love that run. And it was a totally different lineup than the 90s. So
right.
People are desperate to know which lineup are we using, and I've enjoyed not telling anyone.
You're going to get questions that you can't talk about for 2 years straight.
I know, it's the best.
Who's the best known of the X-Force members?
Oh, look at this. I love how Bean is like trying to come at it from a different angle.
Just
ask
curious.
The question without really
He's
asking
trap
the question.
You. Bean likes the back door. That's one thing.
There's a lot of very popular characters.
But if you had to pick the most popular.
The most popular. I mean, look, in the recent run, obviously Wolverine's in it. Yeah. Deadpool's been in a couple different incarnations. Cable started
say,
it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of really kind of big marquee characters. And I'm not using all of them, but I am using a lot of them. And I think people are going to be psyched because, I'm just approaching it the same way I approached Kick-Ass 2, which is I'm a fan of this stuff. I'm not some guy that, like, didn't read the comics and got the job. Like, I pursued the job.
Right.
I convinced them.
You
like,
convinced them to do
this.
This
is
movie.
A good idea. So I'm just trying to make the movie, write the movie right now, that I would want to see as a fan of the property.
And Jeff, does Jeff tells us that Wolverine and Cable are going to be in it.
That's good.
It's been confirmed.
It's been confirmed.
Well, if there's one thing we learned from you, Jeff, it's that you do what you say you're going to do. So we're very excited about X-Force. We're very excited about Kick-Ass 2, and we urge our listeners to go see it. It's in theaters everywhere this weekend, and it does look awesome. Jeff Wadlow stopping by here on the Kevin Beach
Show.
Thank you
so much, guys.
We really enjoyed it.
Selena, over here. Selena, God damn it.
She can't hear you. That's why she's not coming over.
He's whispering, isn't he?
Selena.
He's not trying
Selena,
at all.
Selena.
How do you whisper but act like you're yelling?
Selena.
He's the Harrison Ford of interviewers.
All this week, we qualified you for Austin City Limits in Austin, Texas. A great lineup. Muse, The Cure, Queens of the Stone Age, Kings of Leon, Depeche Mode, and so much more. We promised Friday morning in the 7 o'clock hour, we do the grand prize drawing. Kevin, who's going to Austin?
Michelle Ivey from Riverside is going to Austin, Texas.
She's
what a great
hot.
City for this festival, too.
She's hot. Michelle
is she hot?
Ivey.
Yeah. Michelle Ivey, yeah.
Sounds like she
hot,
is. I agree with you, yeah. We're going to tell you about a place you can drive through to pray. That's on the way. Also, Doug Benson joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show next hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday.
This is nuts. Duck Dynasty, season 4 premiere Wednesday night, pulls in 11.8 million viewers.
Oh
11.8 million viewers. That shatters the record for a nonfiction cable TV series.
What?
Never in the history of cable television, with all of the reality shows that have ever been on it, no one has pulled in that kind of audience.
So you think about
11.8 million viewers.
Think about like the Jersey Shore or Honey Boo Boo, something
or
like that.
Real
that
World on MTV.
Sensation.
Or
yeah.
Anything you've ever seen on cable in terms of nonfiction series. No.
How do you explain it, Ralph?
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Well, I explain it. Because the dove is the filet mignon of the sky. That's how I know. That's why people love it.
You think that struck a chord with people?
People said, yes, finally, someone has articulated my feelings about eating dove. Finally. Where there's a spokesperson for the dove lovers of the world.
Hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities. Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
I think the answer for your acting career, Ralph, is you better start growing that beard.
Yeah.
That's what people want to look at on TV, apparently.
Yeah, I want to be one of the Robertsons.
Their beards go down below their chest, though.
Doves, t'one of my favorite things to do. T'one. Thank God he saved all the time of saying, it's one of my favorite things. T'one of my favorite things to do.
Doesn't have time to.
I guarantee. All right, whatever, America. Fine, be that
hunting
way.
Doves, it's one of my most favorite activities. Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
Yeah, okay.
That's true. That's hard to argue.
And One Direction. You know the UK boy band One Direction?
Yep.
Thieves. Sure. Freaking thieves.
Thieves.
Lying, stealing thieves.
Who did they steal from?
Well, big brouhaha on the internet this week. They've got a new smash hit song called Best Song Ever.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little arrogant to name your song the best song ever.
A bit.
And some people might say that it borrows, perhaps, just a sort of an influence from, gives a soupçon of...
I don't know that word.
Just a touch.
Okay.
Of the legendary Who rock anthem, Bob O'Reilly. Some people know it as Teenage Wasteland, right? Teenage Wasteland. You know, if you watch CIS, you know what Bob O'Reilly is, right?
Or CSI, either one.
Yeah, that too. They say, you know, this was stolen from that. Now, I think that's a little harsh to say about the boy band One Direction. Let's compare and contrast for ourselves, shall we? First, let's take a little listen to the legendary song by The Who, Bob O'Reilly. You'll recognize this, right?
Absolutely.
Classic.
Now, the guitar riff here.
Now, before we hear the...
Okay. Okay, so now you know.
Before we hear the One Direction song, there's no way those kids know that Who song, right? So if they wrote this song, they may not even been aware of the Who song.
Okay, that can be your opinion. Let's play the other clip.
Wow. Having said that, they are identical.
Wow. Okay, if they've never heard that song, then someone very close to them has.
No kidding.
That is unreal.
Guilty. You brought us that Katy Perry, Sarah Bareilles copyright kerfuffle
close.
A couple
not
of days ago, and that was maybe a push. This one is lawsuit waiting to happen.
It's well, identical.
Now they asked Pete Townsend, the guy who wrote Bob O'Reilly from The Who, will there be a lawsuit? And he said no.
Really?
He said he likes the single. He's a fan of One Direction. He said those chords have been used in rock and roll since Chuck Berry and Buddy Holly. And he's honored that a hot new group would be influenced by The Who, he said. So,
wait,
all hands off, feel free, no worries.
Wait, there's a lawsuit possible and is not happening?
Not happening.
What?
Guess Pete Townsend figures he's got enough money, he just doesn't give a rat's ass, and he's too busy looking at child porn.
He was acquitted of that, first of all.
Oh, okay, never mind.
They also don't sue nearly as much in Britain. The burdens of proof are all wacky compared to America, and maybe it's just not as litigious a society because of that, because it's so hard to win in England courts.
And it seems like they have other things to do.
Yeah.
Like they're busy living their lives and don't worry so much about that. I think Pete Townsend's legacy in rock and roll is safe.
Pretty safe,
I don't think he's been threatened by 1D. Anytime.
Right. Is that what you call him?
Well, that's what everyone calls him.
That's what everyone calls him, yeah. That is, that's shocking. I mean, you could lay one on top of the other.
Yeah, it's hot. Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Carell's 51 years old today. Timothy Hutton turns 53. Madonna is 55 years old, as is Angela Bassett. Looks better out of those two.
No kidding.
Bassett! James Cameron's 59. Kathy Lee Gifford from the Today Show is 60 years old today. Her husband, Frank Gifford, former New York Giant, is 83 years old today. Reginald Vell Johnson, very talented actor, 61. And actress Julie Newmar, who was the original Catwoman on the TV series Batman, 80 years old today. I would still knock it out of the park.
You wouldn't.
Oh.
I want to do a phone topic on the oldest celebrity you would bone, Ralph. I think that would be fascinating.
Ooh.
Kevin, it's a 17-year-old girl who lives around the corner from me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Our friend Doug Benson is going to be joining us in studio in about 10 minutes, or is he? You saw his tweet last night, right, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Asking about how many guests sleep through their appearances on the Kevin Bean Show because he was planning on it. Now, does that mean he was planning on oversleeping and not coming in, or coming in and just sleeping while he's here?
It sounded to me like he wasn't going to show up.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So we'll find out if Doug Benson is here or not. First, though, here's a story out of all states, Florida, you guys.
What a surprise.
Lutz, Florida is the place. The Sunrise Worship Center has a drive-through prayer lane. You don't have to get out of your car and go into the church to pray. You just drive through and pray at the window. I guess this is like fast food where you go and get your burgers without going in, or you go and do your banking without going in. And now
you can
get married
through a drive-through, right?
And they have funerals where you can do drive-thrus at the funeral instead of getting out of the car. Well, now they have one for prayer. They say it is a church of convenience, according to Tyson Prater. She said, as an example, he's the pastor of the church. A lady was on her way to the hospital as her husband had just had a heart attack. She was literally following the ambulance to the hospital. She saw our sign, pulled in, and asked us to pray for her and her husband. That's just one example.
I'm calling BS on that story. I'm calling BS. No woman that's following an ambulance with a husband who had a heart attack is going to stop off.
Well, you can call BS all you want, but the pastor is on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, so you can ask Tyson Prater yourself from the Sunrise Worship Center in Lutz, Florida. Hi, Pastor.
Oh, ye of little faith.
I'm calling BS.
I heard you say that, sir, and I think that's a horrible thing for you to think, because that woman did, in fact, come by to pray for her husband. God bless her.
She was following the ambulance.
She was following the ambulance to the hospital that her husband was being taken to, and she pulled off to stop here at the Sunrise Worship Center in order to pray for him, and thank God she did too, because that man, well, he died, but but his soul was saved by the fact that she took some time out of her busy schedule come by and go through our drive-through prayer lane.
What kind of a rush are people in Lutz, Florida in?
A very busy people's here at Lutz, and they come by just to get a cup of coffee and a prayer, and sometimes not even the coffee. They just want God's guidance.
Are you sure they're not? You're handing out coffee?
Sometimes we do have hot coffee for the prayer vigil people coming by in their automobiles. Yes, sir.
You have signs out front of the church, things like "Need God's Guidance," "Drive-Through Prayer," "Turn Here," "Free Prayers Ahead." Are you pretty busy? Are a lot of people taking advantage of this service you're offering?
We are very busy. It turns out people will show up for anything if you put "free" on a sign.
That's true.
I can't believe it. But people, are there people who charge for prayers? I'm not familiar with that.
No.
But people seem to be sucked in by our free prayer sign nonetheless. And they come by the drive-through lane here at the Sunrise Worship Center, and everyone is getting God's guidance. Oh, hold on a second. I got a customer right here.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay.
He's gone.
He didn't even slow down.
Well, it is a drive-through lane. It's not a parking lane.
Well, right, but how long is your prayer going to be if you're going to speed through?
I'll have you know, sir.
I didn't even hear what you said.
That the length of a prayer is not that important to God's ears. It is just the intent behind the prayer.
Okay.
He hears everything, no matter how brief it may be.
All right.
He does not. Hold on one second. The cousin.
All right. Good.
Oh, wow. Okay. I can't even make out the prayer.
Well, it's not for your ears now, is it, sir?
Did that guy wave? Or...
So you're just shouting things at cars that are going by.
We are having prayer and God's guidance for people who drive through our lane. How hard is it for you to understand?
So you're actually talking to God when you're yelling at the car.
I am praying with these people so that they can appreciate it. Lord, grant me the discipline.
And that's effective.
We're very busy here at the Sunrise Worship Center.
Well, do they ever?
Hey, I'm there, Cruz.
Do they ever stop and tell you, like in the case of the woman going to the hospital, what it is in particular they want prayers
that
for?
That is not my business, sir. That's between that person and God.
It doesn't sound like they're slowing down at all.
They are slowing down.
To say anything to
slow
you.
Slow enough just for to get little God's guidance.
I
and
see.
They go through and they're...
Well, you're very good.
They got to get a speed limit here.
They do. So the fact that Doug Benson is here in person in our studio on time means we all lost the bet, right?
That's right, we did.
We all figured he was basically warning us last night on Twitter that he was going to oversleep and we would not see him.
And nobody bet on my side.
No,
you
not
all just
one
thought
person.
That was the warning
well,
shot that we needed.
It was a warning shot. We've never, usually if somebody cancels, they're not considerate enough to give us a warning shot.
Oh, okay.
They just don't show up. And then we go, hey, what are we supposed to do? But at least last night, what were you feeling when you tweeted, has anyone ever slept through? I'm feeling like this might happen.
I forget if I did. I tweet it before or after midnight?
I have no idea.
It was before. It was definitely before because I saw it before bed.
Okay, that's why. So then it was. What happened was, is I knew I was seeing a movie that didn't start till 11. And so I knew I wouldn't be home until pretty late. And
like
then...
one something. Yeah. How often do you, with your schedule as a nighttime comedian and podcaster, how often do you ever have to get up in the morning, Doug?
Pretty much every day, because I'm either doing some sort of media, and like you gotta get up really early if you're on the phone to the East Coast or something, and then I also have to fly a lot, and and that's another thing where you have to if you're flying to the other side of the country because of the time you lose, like if you have a show that night, you have to be at LAX at 6 a.m. or something.
It's so weird. Until you said that sentence, I always thought being a comedian was the perfect career for a pothead, but it sounds like it's not. It sounds like it's the opposite because you have so many other obligations beyond being on stage.
Yeah, the trick is to remain an opening act. Because then the obligations are, you don't have to do the media. You could sleep in every day, go to a movie matinee, and then show up that night and do your 15, 20 minutes.
And if people aren't there, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Right,
it was,
exactly.
It was the life. I was so happy when I wasn't making it.
Damn it, you got good. That's the worst thing that ever could have happened to you.
Yeah, success is really a bummer.
But you don't know when you're in that place, you don't know that's the best you're going to have it, that you're going to look back on those days as the good old days.
I had a feeling. I did enjoy it because I came up in stand-up comedy when, there was such a boom that they would legitimately pay you and fly you in and put you in a hotel just to open the show, just to be the MC. And, that those days are gone. Now they always just grab local people and, pay them with a sandwich.
Which you as a stoner can appreciate.
Yeah. Like I said, the good old days.
What do you think the attrition rate is of people who plan on being stand-up comedians versus those that are able to make a living doing it? 99.9%.
It must be huge. It must be. I think it's, for me, it feels more like something though that if you're determined, you can make it work somehow. Because there's enough stages and enough clubs that need to be filled that it's not like acting where you have to get cast.
It's on you to get.
It's more,
to the-
DIY. Like you just have to, and you have to really commit to it. And in my case, it took like about 8 years before anybody even started paying me to do it. And then I had to, climb that ladder. The ladder of open middle headliner.
And now you get your own plane and a gold plated limo.
I wish I, but I think the thing that I, and you guys, maybe you could tell me yours, what's the one thing you would get, you would have if you really were rich, and mine would be,
if you had
a
like
full-time
$1 billion.
Yeah. Mine would be full-time chef.
Full-time chef, sure.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
As a stoner, that's the best.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But also, I'd want to... I could eat healthier that way if someone is...
You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I'd pick something fried
and make it now.
I'd pick somebody that's terrible with desserts. They're only good with vegetables.
I will tell you this, Doug, and this won't surprise you, I don't think, as much as you know about our show, but for me, it would be a sex robot, obviously, would be the thing. If I had the money to blow on it, I would get the world's best sex robot.
I think I know who you would want it to look like also. but I won't say. I won't say. I don't want to.
What's his name?
Who does he creep on the most?
That's a Taylor great Swift? Question.
It would look just like Taylor Swift.
You
is that what you mean?
Creep on Taylor Swift?
Yeah,
I don't creep on her. I
has
love
she been a guest?
Her.
No,
she,
we hate
no.
her. No, the
we
rest love of us hate her. Her nickname is Tadolf Swindler.
Because she's the best person in the world ever, and I love her, and she
right,
will
hold
be
on,
mine.
B. Hold on, B. Doug Benson, who were you thinking of when you said that?
I was thinking Rachel Nichols.
Rachel Nichols.
Well, yeah, I do love it. Her so yeah. much. Yeah. But I'll have enough money to have a sex robot in the basement, and then Rachel Nichols will be chained up upstairs. So I'll take care of both. I'm going to be in business.
Okay. You are just creep.
What? That's not a good use of my funds? Hey, we have to take a break. Doug Benson is here. We'll have more time in the next segment. The reason he's here, by the way, is the greatest movie ever rolled, which you've heard us talk about in this program because it came out on 311 earlier this year, is now available on demand and on iTunes and on something called chill.com. Doug, what's that?
Chill.com is just a site where it's been for a while. That's where we first launched it. But now it's, you know, gone wider into, like, you know, if you have whatever cable system you have, it's probably in your on-demand section.
You had me at...
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
You had me there. All right, I'm in.
The greatest movie ever rolled, available now from our friend Doug Benson, and we're going to talk to him more about that. And also the shocking thing that I found that Doug used to do for a living.
Oh.
I don't think we've ever talked about on this program
Male
before.
Prostitute?
When we return. Hey, spoiler alert, sorry. When we return, right after this on the Kevin Bean Show on here. Our friend Doug Benson in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show from The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, available now on iTunes, video on demand, and chill.com. He, of course, is also the host of Doug Loves Movies podcast, very popular, available on iTunes, hundreds of thousands of subscribers for that, I think. Speaking of movies, Doug, I didn't know until recently about your career as a movie extra.
Oh, yeah.
Shocking to me. The number of movies that you have been in that we have all seen and didn't know you were in. Tell us about that. I don't think we've ever talked with you about that on the show.
It's ridiculous. I grew up in San Diego, and so and I had a buddy who his dad lived up in L.A. So in my late teens, I just started commuting up to L.A. and just trying to get work as an extra in movies, just to kind of get a leg up before, because I was. Always planned to move here.
Right.
And
did you always plan to be an actor?
Yeah, I wanted to be an actor or writer. I knew I wanted to be involved in movies in some capacity. And
how'd that work out?
Well, he's making his own now.
My new one is out today. I have to act in documentaries, yeah. Is what the show business has told me. But
how many movies have you been in that we know?
Well, the top three, I'll give you the okay. three most famous movies that it's just weird to even be in, even though it's just for a few seconds.
Okay.
Blade Runner.
Really? Right?
Yeah.
Right,
Kevin? I can point to myself
what?
In Blade Runner. I go, that's me right there.
Wow.
And Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, wow.
I can see that.
Of course.
filmed at the former Galleria in Sherman mm-hmm. Oaks.
Sure,
and
right.
And Captain EO. The Disneyland
Captain
attraction.
EO with Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
You were in that little 15-minute thing or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. They, you know how they have professional dancers and crazy get-ups through the whole thing. And then Francis Ford Coppola went so far over budget that for the last scene, they was just like, let's just hire extras and put them in the dancers' costumes and then just have them freestyle at the end when they're celebrating Michael Jackson saving them or whatever the hell happens. You know, Angelica Houston turns into an ugly witch into a... not that attractive princess. and then we all dance. And so that's at that.
Did you have some sweet moves?
I tried to stand out just with the most ridiculous moves possible.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to pick me out because we're all dressed the same. You know, me and all the other extras.
Well, then
but,
I was in it too.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
So did you, how close did you get to Michael Jackson?
Fairly close. I also worked for a brief period of time as a production assistant for his company.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I ran errands for Michael Jackson.
How do we not know any of this about you? How did you run errands for Michael Jackson?
You know, I'd have to take an envelope out to that house they had out in Havenhurst, you know.
Well, those were payoffs, right? Those were payoffs to keep things from going to court.
I don't know what it, yeah, I don't know what it was.
Well, you mean their other house, the Jackson house?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he used to live, he lived there at the time.
Yeah.
And then he had.
So you used to do deliveries for Michael Jackson?
Yeah, for his company. It was called Smooth Criminal Productions. It was around the time he was making the Smooth Criminal video.
How much interaction did you have with Michael Jackson personally?
I just was in the same room with him once or twice when I was working for him, and on Captain EO, he would. I was only there for one day, but it was like a 17-hour day, and because they had to finish the stupid movie, and then every time, and Michael Jackson, like watching him, you know, dance and stuff was really, it was fun to, you know, be right there watching it happen, and but then every time they'd say cut, he'd run off and sit in a corner with he had this little. Boyfriend, I think his name was Jonathan,
right.
And the kid would just you know, sit in his lap, and they'd whisper in each other's ear and giggle, and like,
well, this went south quick.
No, I'm just saying,
so excited. One year
I'm just saying, I'm here to confirm that Michael Jackson was a full blown creep, but also a very innocent one. Like, you could tell they were just having fun, and that it might not be.
You didn't
sexual.
Think it was sexual.
I thought it might be. Yeah,
right.
Because it was really like it was like he carried that kid around like he used to carry bubbles around. You know, like he moved from Animal Kingdom to real life human boys.
I saw Alfonso Ribeiro. Is that his name? Is that how you pronounce his
sure.
name? I saw him on TV just this week doing an interview. He was the kid who was dressed up like little Michael Jackson in one of the Pepsi commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up becoming very good friends with Michael Jackson and spending a couple of years with him. And he said Michael Jackson was absolutely another kid. It was exactly like hanging out with another 13-year-old. There was never anything creepy about it. I could never imagine there being anything creepy about it. For what it's worth, that was his experience, and it sounds like you're saying you got
Michael,
the same vibe on the set.
And then Michael poured him a big goblet of Jesus juice.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Yeah, right. Doug.
Yeah,
that's
no, he was
so
he was
crazy.
Definitely a weirdo, for sure.
Yeah. Where are you in Fast Times Ridgemont High, one of my favorite movies of all time? Where do I have to freeze frame to see Doug Benson in that film?
At the end of the movie when, spoiler, when Ratner when Ratner goes to Perry's Pizza and is talking up Stacy, you know, and it looks like they might, you know, be able to have a nice, normal teenage relationship. I'm in the background in like a yellow and white striped Izod shirt.
Sweet.
Glasses. Haircut for the time, of course, and then
unbelievable,
and smoking a cigarette because the AD was like, "Who here will smoke a cigarette?" And I was like, "I'll do it." And so I, you know, I wasn't a cigarette smoker then or now, so it looks ridiculous.
Awesome,
like just a teenager at the mall thinking he's cool, smoking a cigarette.
Doesn't Doug seem to you guys like? He has rarely turned down whatever anyone has asked him to do. He's like up for whatever.
Oh, he's the I'll do it guy.
He's the I'll do it guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's the I'll drink that jar of pickle juice. He's that guy.
I don't know that you may have found the one thing I might not do. I'm not a big pickle fan. In fact, food in general, I'm you know, kind of picky about. Like that's one thing.
A stoner that's picky about food?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
That's a weird.
Dilemma.
I mean, there's no desserts I don't like.
Okay, all right.
But when it comes to other stuff, I have my tastes aren't that great. So that's a bad one. And I also won't do anything crazy with animals. Like I had that
glad,
guy.
I'm glad to hear that.
That guy Dominic Monaghan from Lost.
You know,
he has a show called Wild Things.
Yeah, Wild.
And
yeah.
And he goes right up to these crazy. Like he's going to get Steve Irwin before he knows it.
Yeah,
like,
they're deadly, deadly snakes and
stuff.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, if you just know how to hold it. No, yeah. That's not. It's not
that's what not you think until the day you die.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug, why did you stop doing extras? Did you end up getting, did comedy start to take off? That's when you stopped showing up for those movies?
Well, here's the other crazy thing that some people don't know, and I try not to talk about it too much, but I moved on from being an extra in random movies to being, I was one of the people that was always in the background at the detective agency on Moonlighting.
Okay.
What?
What's happening?
I spent my days sitting around a set waiting for Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd to stop hating each other and shoot the damn scene.
So you were an office worker in the background at the Moonlighting Detective Agency.
Yeah, yeah. It was like they hired a group of us that would like always be there, just walking around. Like we're always doing like busy work, and like the joke on the show is the agency doesn't have any clients. So I don't know why there's six or seven of us. Walking around,
what are you doing?
With files and answering phones and stuff.
So, how long did you do that?
That was how long was that show on for? Like four,
like
or five
4 years
seasons
or something?
Yeah. So I lasted till about I think when they had like maybe half a season, like when it all fell apart after David and Maddie made it, you know, once they had sex, the show
and then no
just
one cared.
Fell apart.
No one cared.
Yeah, and it just it dropped off. So I I at that point, I had started working as when a guest star would come in, I would be like their stand-in. So then I moved to the world of being a stand-in in movies.
Okay. And, you're the most interesting man in the world, and we didn't know it.
Now, what movies were you a stand-in for?
Well, I was just – there was two movies where I was a stand-in for the entire film, and they're both movies that nobody remembers. One of them was called
– E.T.
one of them was called – when we were making it, it was called The Woo-Woo Kid, but when it came out, it was called In the Mood, and it starred Patrick Dempsey as a true story of a young guy who just kept getting arrested for marrying older women.
Okay. I saw that movie.
Yeah. He's McDreamy. He's McDreamy, right?
Yeah.
Lisa saw that movie.
I didn't see that movie.
Oh, you have bad taste.
So I was Patrick Dempsey's stand-in for that entire movie.
Okay.
And there has never been a stand-in who looks less like the guy he's standing in for than that.
Well, I had, you know, maybe I was thinner and I had the height, you know, and that's all that really matters. You know, you might as well be a mannequin, you know, to wait stand-ins when you're standing there.
Right. You're just a placeholder.
Yeah. It's not like you ever really, you know. And then the next movie I did was that horrible debate movie with Kirk Cameron and Jamie Gertz called Listen to Me.
Never heard of it.
It was called. Lisa?
I think I might have seen it.
Never heard of it.
Maybe. It's it was a terrible movie. Like it doesn't even make sense.
But that's not on you.
No, not on you
at all. Yeah, right. You're not even in it.
And right. Then, well, I am in it briefly at the end because there's a big debate, you know, college level debate or whatever, and I'm one of the guys. You never see me debate, but I'm like supposedly on the Harvard team.
When you get your
it's a horrible movie.
that's weird casting.
When you get your royalty checks, your union royalty checks from Moonlighting, now all these years later, how much are they?
Oh, it's tiny, but it's also I didn't, you know, I was working as a non-union extra, so the. There's no residuals for the extra work, but there was a couple of times. I got my SAG card because a couple times on the show they'd let us say something.
Mm. Nice.
And so I get, you know, minuscule residual checks for
there.
That. Yeah, it's not really playing anymore in anywhere, you know? Like, whereas Friends, I had, you know, a couple lines on an episode of Friends, and I get tweets almost every day from people saying, you were on Friends? Because it's on Nick at Night, it's on local syndication, it's like, the episode plays constantly, so I always know when I'm going to get a
Which
check.
Which movie did you shout?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
That was in Greatest Movie Ever Rolled.
Ah.
We, to promote the movie, we did it Blues Brothers style. I mean, to promote the one of the shows that I did in the movie, we drove around Ann Arbor, Michigan with me just sticking my head out the window with a bullhorn just
that could
know,
be endless fun
promoting
can't
the show
endless
it's
fun.
Ridiculous the stupid things you think of to say to just people minding their own business.
Sir, you have a baby on your back.
I love that one.
Just a heads up.
Yeah, well, Doug, that's definitely a highlight of the movie.
I have all due respect for you after this conversation today. What a fascinating story. Before we let you go, Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, available on iTunes, video on demand at chill.com. Do you advise this movie is best enjoyed high or not high? Which is your advice, Doug?
Oh, well, I'd say everything's more fun when you're high. But,
okay.
You know, if you want to sit there and, you know, Jones for weed the entire time, because that's probably what it'll make, you know, because I'm smoking pretty freely throughout, so you might get frustrated. It's like with Super High Me, the first part of the movie where the 30 days where I didn't smoke at all, like I get stoners complaining to me on Twitter, like, why'd you do that? How could you do that? I was like, I was making a point.
Like it was a personal attack on them.
I'm making a point. It's not addictive. And they're like, well, we fast forward through that part. We can't watch that. Oh, and there's one other thing I got to plug real quick if I can.
Of course.
You guys probably a friend of this show, Daniel Kellison,
over at the
Jash Network on the internet. I'm going to start doing a new talk show with him over there at Jash that's going to be called Getting Doug with High. And it's every episode is going to be me and a different celebrity just openly smoking weed and having a conversation.
I love it. When does that start?
In October.
Fantastic. You'll have to come back when that starts.
For sure.
All right.
Thanks,
Doug Benson. Thanks for coming
in. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:55. We just found out that Doug Benson, comedian Doug Benson, was freestyle dancing in Captain EO.
Who wasn't? We all were back then.
That's a little
it
weird.
It was the thing we all did.
It's nothing
don't hold
I did.
It against the guy. We all did it. It was just, it was part of the, you know, culture at the time.
Did that really happen, or was he just so high he thought he was in Captain EO? Do you guys know?
Or were you so high you thought he was in Captain EO?
Good. Oh, good one. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday morning.
How much money would you pay to sit with Bean
when he's high
and force him to get high?
Oh. I don't know, because I don't...
All the money, right?
Because weed has different effects on different people.
Right. So you get to see what effect it would have
but what
on
if it,
DJ Spina Bifida.
But what if it increased his talking?
Whatever. It would be
that
fascinating
would be a disaster.
To watch. But it would be fascinating to watch. It would be, literally
think,
a social experiment.
I'd be scared of it, but I'd be in.
Oh, but I'd have to know.
Yeah.
I gots to know. I gots to know.
It would be sweet.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
That was the last
That's
time.
What he would say. Bean, have you ever been high?
No.
That's it. No. Like, of course not. People do it.
It's a ludicrous question. Have you met me? Do you know me? Do you know anything
Look,
about me in my
do,
life?
I do, but I don't know what you were doing when you were 18, 19, 20 in your early days of radio playing In It A Gata Da Vida at your,
please.
At your local DJ shop.
You know he wasn't getting high.
I've never been drunk either.
What a loser.
And I've never been with a lady.
Bean's high on life. He doesn't need any
artificial.
See?
There you go. Substances. If you were just to wrap it up in three words, high on life.
If you were as filled with joy and fun Bean. And glee as Bean was, you wouldn't need any other substances either.
Exactly.
Of all the people in the world, I would think you would want to alter your consciousness daily on a regular basis.
I don't want to miss a minute of my sweet life.
Your life does rule.
All right, let me give you something for sitting through all this nonsense. How about some tickets to Showtime Championship Boxing?
Yay!
Great fight happening at the StubHub Center on Saturday, August the 24th. Marius versus Gonzalez. Tickets are available at AXS.com if you want to pick up your tickets. Or you can just be lucky caller number 24 right now. 1-800-520-1067. You get to see a great boxing match. Marius versus Gonzalez happening at the StubHub Center. On the 24th. Showtime does great work with their boxing series.
I think so, too.
Some of you may remember Showtime. It was an excellent network that you used to be able to watch on your television.
My understanding is it's everywhere. All good.
Yeah. All good. That's what we've been told.
Oh, okay.
It's all good.
Whatever you say.
Yep.
You know what else you can see on television? Duck Dynasty. A lot of people like to watch that TV series. How do I know? Wednesday night, premiere for the fourth season of Duck Dynasty. Broke cable rating records. Largest audience ever for a nonfiction cable TV series episode. 11.8 million viewers tuned in to watch Duck Dynasty return.
And I think you said earlier, Ralph, that that's the number one show on all of television some weeks, right?
Yes. It beats the networks some weeks.
That is crazy.
It is guys in beards talking about duck calls and each other and golfing.
And as we learned in the recap that Kevin did for us this week, playing Battleship on TV. Laying on the floor playing Battleship as grown-ass men.
That's how the episode started. For like 5 minutes, I was thinking, they're not trying to keep any audience, I'll tell you that.
G4. G4. Oh, y'all sunk my Battleship.
That was on television.
That happened on TV. For quite some time.
I got an email from a listener who sounded like she was in the know, said Duck Dynasty, apparently, they are fundamentalist Christians.
Oh,
the Duck Dynasty family, the Robertson family, and apparently a huge draw and audience amongst fundamentalist Christians.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
They kill ducks for Jesus, apparently. That's what they do.
So, it ain't natural!
Perhaps that feeds into some of the enormous viewership in the middle of the country, let's say.
Hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
Yep.
11.8 million.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, Iron Man. That's a good deal, right?
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr., of course, made his mark as Iron Man. He's hinted in the past that he'd like to step down from the franchise. He will be appearing in Avengers 2, but after that, it's a big question mark. Who can fill the armor?
Well, Farrah Abramson.
Farrah Abramson.
Orlando Bloom.
Here's a person who has thrown his hat into the ring, as it were. Mark Wahlberg would like to be Iron Man.
Interesting.
Hmm. In an interview with Yahoo UK Movie News, Mark said he'd like to step into the role of Tony Stark in the future. I would like to take over the Iron Man franchise for Robert Downey, Wahlberg says.
Me too.
But it's one of those things where I kind of like playing real people, so I've never been asked.
Well, what do you think, Ralph? You usually have an opinion on comic book casting. How would he do?
I don't know if he has the savoir-faire. I don't know if he has
A charisma that...
And there's also an air of aristocracy about Tony Stark. He's a billionaire inventor genius. He's sort of arrogant. He's in a rarefied stratum, I guess, of like social class. You know, him and Bruce Wayne, they have to be guys you can see sort of in the boardroom. And Mark Wahlberg strikes me as a more blue collar guy. He's a more like, you know, a little rough around the edges guy. So I don't know if he's got the slick quality.
DJ
maybe.
Qualls?
DJ Qualls. Now there's a choice. There's a choice. He'd be perfect. But, I mean, Mark's a very likable, talented guy.
I agree.
See, he could. There could be worse choices, I guess is what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Steve Carell. How talented is he? Saw it way, way back, by the way, Kevin.
How good is that?
Like 10 days a week ago. We haven't talked about it since I saw it.
But how good is that?
And his performance is brilliant in that. He makes you forget everything about Office and all the likable, fun guys he's played. And just as a massive tool in that
He's
film.
A dick, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie, and he turns in a great performance. 51 years old today. Timothy Hutton is 53. Madonna turns 55. Angela Bassett also 55. James Cameron is 59. TV personality Kathy Lee Gifford and her husband Frank Gifford both celebrate birthdays today. She is 60. He's 83. Reginald Vell Johnson is 61 years old. And actress Julie Newmar, the slinky, seductive Catwoman from the Batman TV series, is 80 years old today. And I would like to enjoy her today at 80. I would bring it just a economy size lube bottle.
Wow, is this hurting? It's a painful conversation.
I would make her meow. You know what I'm saying?
Giddy
up. You know what I'm saying? Anybody with me?
No.
You were out of the room, Ralph, but Beer Mug upped the ante. While you're over there doing that with Julie Newmar, he's going to be in the next room doing that to Eartha Kitt, another Catwoman.
Who's quite dead.
Well, he's still going for it, he said. Well, how much he likes her.
I thought going for an elderly Catwoman.
He doesn't care.
If you're going for the necrophilia Catwoman ploy, you might have bested me, Beer Mug.
That's how attractive he finds her.
You're not gonna play on that field?
I'm not gonna enter the world of corpse effing at any point, I don't think. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Ah, Kevin, our old friend Manny Ramirez is in the news, and it's not good news.
Oh, what happened?
Well, you know Manny, who to me will always be a Boston Red Sox. That's how I always associate Manny. But a lot of people fell in love with him when he was playing for the Dodgers for a couple of years. And since then, it hasn't been so good for the man. He's 41 years old now.
Right.
But remember, he played for the White Sox for a while. Then he was in Tampa Bay. And then he was out of baseball. And then he was in the minor leagues with Oakland. And then he went to Japan. He played for the Rhinos over there for a while. Then he came back. And he's been playing in the minor leagues for the Texas Rangers organization for, I don't know, about 30 games or something like that. And did pretty well at first. He hit 3 home runs in his first 8 games with the Round Rock AAA affiliate. Then
is their name Round Rock?
Round Rock is the city that they're in.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the team's called. But then production kind of fell off a little bit, and he slowed down, bat speed, running, not so good. He's 41, and he has been released from his contract.
Even from the minor leagues?
Even from the minor leagues. So this could be, finally, they have to pull him kicking and screaming, and this could be the very end of the road for baseball and Manny Ramirez. And we're going to be sorry to see him go because he was always a colorful and fun player to watch. And, of course, we love Manny here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he joins us on the phone with us right now. Hi, Manny.
All right.
Oh. That's a sad horn, Manny.
Manny have sad horn. Manny Ramirez, very sad.
Well, you love baseball. That's what we know about you, right?
Manny Ramirez love baseball. Manny Ramirez love his home run. Mm-hmm. Oh, but Manny Ramirez so sad right now. Manny Ramirez sit in my house. I listen to music, listen to Morrissey.
Oh, no.
I just cry.
Oh.
Oh. when you're a professional athlete, you know going into the game that you can't play forever. You had a much longer run than a lot of people. I mean, there are a lot of people out of the game way before you were. You at least got to play into your 40s.
Bean?
Yes, Manny.
Mr. Bean?
Yes, sir.
What's an areola?
Okay. We're not going to talk about that today, Manny. We just want to talk about what you're going to do now that you're not playing baseball. I mean,
Manny Ramirez tried to learn how to read English, was reading book, and said areola. Okay. Manny Ramirez don't know what it is.
It's part of a woman's boob.
All right.
It's part of a man's boob, too.
Hey, speaking of boob, Lisa May, pretty lady.
Yes.
Are you wearing a pantsuit?
No.
I like pantsuit. Matt Ramirez have one.
You do?
You have a pantsuit?
Come and knock on our door.
Why are you singing?
Waiting for you.
Is that the Three's Company theme?
All right. Matt Ramirez love it. Watch it every night. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, Manny.
The brain is the biggest erogenous zone.
Okay.
Do you have cable?
Yes.
Oh, cable TV is so funny. Many channels I watch. Sometimes I watch cartoons. Sometimes Matt Ramirez watch sport.
This
sometimes
is how you fill your time now as you all watch right TV?
There's a Barbie doll in my tuchus.
Okay.
Well, you should hang up immediately and get to the emergency room if that's the case, Manny.
Oh, yeah. Manny Ramirez ride Rascal scooters. Go to Walmart. He buy Cheetos, and sometimes I buy soup.
Okay.
I like pudding.
I don't think Manny's going to have a hard time getting over this.
I think he's already forgotten it.
I want to be a clown. Hooray. I'm a jackal.
You're a jackal.
Hey, beer mug.
Hey, yeah, Manny, what's up?
You're fat.
Oh,
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
I think it's time for a weekend, you guys. It's
time to you don't know the half of
kiss
it.
Kiss this one goodbye and just walk out the door. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, I saw an article this morning on the internet that said, people who drink more than 4 cups of coffee a day are more likely to die young. I was like, well, screw it. I should be dead already. It's Friday. I'm the worst day of the week for us because I hate getting up early and I just can't stand it and I'm just not good at it. It makes me tired. And
I never get used to it. Yeah.
This is like my 18th cup of coffee just to get me to 10 o'clock.
You're lucky to be alive.
So I'm probably already dead is what I'm saying. It may be the caffeine that's just propelling me forward at this point. I might be a zombie.
You're already dead?
Yeah, I'm a corpse that's just being activated by caffeine.
But after today of dealing with the King of Mexico and beer mug, wouldn't being dead be preferable in some ways?
It really would be a coin flip, really. It's hard to find the downside right now. It's all I can say.
Just quiet. That's all you're looking for at this point is just peace and quiet.
Just some rest. Before I get to the showbiz news, how about my last pairs of tickets for the very special K-Rock advance screening of The World's End?
Yeah!
Movie looks awesome. Edgar Wright returns as director with some of his buddies Simon Pegg and Nick Frost starring in this film along with Martin Freeman as an added bonus and Rosamund Pike, who is just one of my faves. I've loved her since she was a Bond girl. Five friends reunite in an attempt to top their epic pub crawl from 20 years earlier and unwittingly become humankind's only hope for survival as the world literally ends around them. The World's End is going to be happening at the Lemley Santa Monica 4, August the 22nd. That's Thursday the 22nd. The movie's in theaters the next day, Friday, August the 23rd, in case you don't win. And after this screening, you get to go to the World's End Pub Party at Ye Olde King's Head. So it's a movie and a party, all for the low, low price of just a phone call. 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. First five callers who get through get tickets to The World's End and to the World's End pub party afterwards. Kat Corbett's going to be there. She's going to be your hostess.
With the mostest.
Hi, I'm Kat. Come to my pub party. I'm going to drink some beer at the pub party. And then I'll drive you home in my BMW.
She doesn't have a speech impediment, Ralph.
Yeah, she might as well.
Hi. But it's Margarita O'Clock.
It's Margarita O'Clock. Come see The World's End with me.
Hi, it's Kat.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah, it is pretty close.
Is that gluten free?
A new freaking commercial with that broad who does that gluten free line. It's got to be taken out. SEAL Team 6.
Double tap.
All right, let's get into the show business news. Oh, I left my favorite story on the printer. If there's anybody in there who can bring that story in for
like
me,
they're listening.
Like they're listening. I know they've checked out earlier than we have on a Friday. But the big story in television, of course, is Duck Dynasty pulling in an amazing 11.8 million viewers on Wednesday, the premiere of its fourth season. 11.8 million viewers
Sounds like a lot. But in fact, it's the largest audience ever for a nonfiction cable series.
I saw headlines earlier this week that Breaking Bad had shattered every previous airing of that show with its return the other night with about 5 million viewers. And it was just making TV history because finally 5 million people tuned into this cable show.
Yeah. For a long time, cable has been the playground of reality shows and nonfiction shows primarily. Like your big phenomenons that happen on cable like Jersey Shore and things like that tend to be reality. Honey Boo Boo is another example. But this one. Just smashing numbers.
Yeah, that's insane.
How about E5? I'll take that as a hit.
Seriously?
Seriously? 11.8 million.
That's what people were watching.
Grown-ups playing Battleship.
Here's the hope for America's future, however. Jace Robertson, one of the Robertson family stars on Duck Dynasty, this week was kicked out of a New York City hotel that he was staying in while doing promotions for the show. Why? Because an employee at the hotel mistook him for a homeless man.
Understandable.
Those who watch the show know that that is definitely true of all of them.
First thing that happened to me at the hotel, I got escorted out, said Robertson. I asked where the bathroom was in the lobby, and he said, right this way, sir. And then he walked me outside and pointed down the road and said, good luck. He got kicked out of the hotel he was staying in.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And rightly so.
Hey, Ralph, you mentioned that earlier today that part of the success of that show might be that these folks are famously Christian. And they have a large... Are they some sect that requires them to grow beards like the Sikhs do? Is there some reason why they all have beards?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I can tell you from watching this past Wednesday that the oldest brother is the pastor that married mom and dad, and he's clean shaven.
Oh, really?
He's the pastor.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
He's clean shaven, so it's just they must like it.
Just trying to figure out why.
I think that's just their personal style.
Why everybody does it, including the mom. It's weird.
What? Sad news, Lisa Robin Kelly passed away in her sleep Wednesday night. You may not know the name.
It's touching sound effects tribute.
Yes.
To every death.
But you probably would recognize her. She starred as Lori Forman, older sister to Eric Forman, Topher Grace's character on That 70s Show. She had a lot of legal and personal troubles over the last few years. Arrested four times since 2010 on DUI charges, and then spousal abuse and assault charges. Had a nasty alcohol addiction she was trying to kick. She was in rehab when she passed away in her sleep on Wednesday night at just 43 years old.
Wow.
Ouch.
That's sad news. But the good news is, L.A. is getting football. Yeah! Football's coming back to Los Angeles.
So it's the Rams this time is what you're saying.
Oh.
The St. Louis Rams are now coming back?
I may have been more specific. Maybe I should have
Raiders?
Let you know it's the Arena Football League. Not the National Football League, but the AFL.
Well, that's just as good, right?
Announced yesterday that an expansion team has been awarded to Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley of Kiss.
No.
The team will be named the L.A. Kiss.
No.
L.A. Kiss. Please welcome your L.A. Kiss.
Who's interested in that? Show of hands. No one?
Nope. That could be the worst franchise name since the Pelicans.
It could be. The Kiss will kick off its debut season in March at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. That's another one of those deals. They're going to be playing in Anaheim. We're going to call them the LA Kiss.
Right.
Tickets begin at $99 a game.
They begin at $99? That's the cheapest ticket?
Yeah. Well, it says season tickets begin at $99. So maybe you get a whole season for $99. Is that possible?
No, that's not possible.
I don't know how many home games there are. Maybe there's only three home games or something in their schedule. Who knows?
Who's paid to play one game in a season?
It's the Super Bowl.
I don't know how it works either. But your season ticket price, if you buy season tickets, will include a free Kiss concert. And you know, Kiss, they're hard to see because they rarely play live.
That's true.
Oh, wait a minute.
Now, in their defense, there was a Tuesday a couple of years ago that they took off, remember?
That's true. I remember they did not play that Tuesday, and that made news. Yeah, the L.A. Kiss.
Nope.
Imagine how hot their cheerleaders are going to be, though.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Gene Simmons is involved.
There is
that's a good point.
Yeah. They're going to just be porn stars wearing pasties. That's how they get the people in.
I've turned my opinion around. I'm game. Thumbs up.
All right. And One Direction, the boy band One Direction, being accused of ripping off the band The Who. Legendary rock band The Who from the 60s, of course. One of the great British invasion bands of all time. They have got a legendary anthem called Baba O'Reilly. Used, of course, famously on CSI. Teenage Wasteland is how a lot of people know the song. But it's got a classic electric piano open and then a great guitar riff, and it blasts into this sort of sonic wall of rock and roll. Well, One Direction has a new song called Best Song Ever, and people are accusing them of ripping off the riff at the beginning of The Who's song, Baba O'Reilly. I don't know. I haven't heard the song, so I thought I'd bring them in the just a little taste of each, and we contrast and compare and see if this is the case at all. Here, first here, this is The Who song. Oh, spent a lot of time air drumming to that song when I was a kid.
I'll bet.
Yeah. So that's Bob O'Reilly by The Who. Now, let's see if these people have any idea what they're talking about. Here's One Direction's song, Best Song Ever.
I think you accidentally played the same clip twice in a row, Ralph.
This is One Direction.
Oh, okay, well. Nothing like it. Nothing like it at all. People are crazy. Wow. I don't know what people are talking about.
Those are two completely different songs.
Completely different. Maybe they're saving Baba O'Reilly is the best song ever. Maybe that's what they're trying to say with that song. I don't know.
How does something like that get released without Pete Townsend getting co-writing credit on it? Like, wasn't there somebody along the chain of release for that record that would say, hey, that's somebody else's melody?
That sounds awful for me. Shut up!
Right.
Right, you. Right out of the studio. No time for you. Pete Townsend, however, said he's not going to sue.
How about
he said
that?
He's a One Direction fan, which I find hard to believe, by the way. He said he likes the song, and he said those three chords have been used in rock and roll since he was influenced by Chuck Berry and Buddy Holly, and he was honored that a hot, popular group would be influenced by The Who, so he's down with it. No suit there.
That's shocking.
That is shocking, and madness, in my opinion, because he could make a lot of money if he were to sue One Direction. They make a ton of cash.
Yes,
Pete, reconsider. But if he's just giving that away, then... I'd like to introduce my new theme. Showbiz news now! I'm talking showbiz news now!
Maybe they have a settlement where One Direction just has to send all of the photos of them as kids to Pete. Maybe they're just going to take care of it that way. Just
see, because a long time ago...
Ouch!
I'm just suggesting that Pete doesn't need any more money, but he needs more
child porn
photos.
Are you a pedophile?
He said he was doing research.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't push Mr. Townsend's generosity too far, fellas. He might find reason to sue somebody for something along the line.
Well, Beerbug never should have suggested that that was a thing.
Whoa, whoa. Today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Carell's 51 years old today. Actor Timothy Hutton turns 53. You watch that, not Vengeance. What the hell's the name of that show?
Revenge?
Not Revenge.
No, it's, what you call it? Justified.
Not Justified.
No, I know
Justified.
Which one you're talking about.
He helps people out. Yeah. He gives them leverage, is what he gives them.
Leverage.
Leverage.
No.
You ever watch that show?
No.
Leverage.
On TNT.
You did.
I've had an assful of him this week, I'm telling you.
Dave Ralph's coming for you.
He's going to get Thorballed right after the show. Leverage. Good show. I like that show.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
53 years old today. Madonna's 55 years old. Angela Bassett turns 55 as well. Director James Cameron is 59. Kathy Lee Gifford from the Today Show and her husband, former football giant, literally.
Yeah.
Frank Gifford. She's 60. He's 83. Reginald Bell Johnson, 61. And actress Julie Newmar, TV's Catwoman on the original Batman TV series back in the 60s. She's 80 years old today, and she is still perfect. See what I did there?
Come on.
Good night, everybody. Tip your waiters and waitresses. They work real hard for you. I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the show with me. Freaking Dave, King of Mexico. Stupid Dave.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Here we go.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
Yeah.
Roll another one.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita
just o'clock. Just like the other one.
curveball.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You're f***ing
and I need another hit.
Eileen.
Just like the other one.
There's too much information.
This one seems to be about to end.
I don't think he's aware of what he's doing.
I don't have another sense.
But, no. Yes.
But the bug got that joint.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
Just passing around.
Come on. I'm just trying to do my job.
Not ever. No way.
I'll just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
I'm done, dude. I'm really not. I'm losing hope and focus right now. Can we just go get Flame Broiler now?
But he's right. It's over.
Bam. Call it a day. Life as you know it is over. Over. C'est la vie. Wah, wah.
Listen, I gotta go.
Really?
Don't worry. You'll see me again.
All right, that's it. I think that went great.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.